Hey everyone, welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad to have you here tonight and so glad for another night to approach a different subject from a different perspective on how to raise children. And we talk about homeschooling, but tonight we're going to cover a little more broader topic, and it has to do with leading your child to healing and wholeness through prayer. And just for you that are new to our broadcast, we tend to, in the past, we've had different guests, and our subjects have been a little different each time too, but we were changing our focus, and we're going to go with themes and the kind of a scope and sequence for parent training. And so this month is all about just getting to your child's soul and catering to their needs. Mm-hmm. As a spiritual person. Last month we were more focused on their mind, and next month we'll focus on their body. So that's kind of our general theme. But our special guest tonight is Michelle Davidson. Welcome, Michelle, from Spirit
Hello,
Ministries.
Welcome, thank you.
So glad you are here with us tonight, and that you're going to share some wisdom with us on this topic. It's so much needed. I know probably about a year ago, I had a parent approach me and say that they've been hearing from a lot of other parents, and this is in our community, especially the homeschooling community, that children are coming out of the schools that are being homeschooled and they're dealing with a lot of trauma. And that just hit my heart. And how do we minister to these families and to these hurting children? And so when I heard about your ministry, and I just thought, this is something that our parents need to hear about. And maybe even not if their child is dealing with tons of trauma, but just on how to, you know, I know you're going to talk a lot of tonight about just being proactive as well. So we don't allow our children to go to that place. So welcome. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your evening to share with us. And I'm just excited for you to share your ministry. So could you just let our audience know a little bit about you and what you do with Sparrow Ministries, and maybe we'll even how we can connect with you?
Awesome. Yes, I sure will. So my name is Michelle Davidson, as Peggy said, and I'm with Sparrow Ministries. And I want to tell you a little bit, just briefly, about how Sparrow Ministries was birthed. I've been involved in children's ministry for about 28 years. My husband and I live in Facebook, Dallas. We have two grown children and one sweet 7-month-old granddaughter that we are getting to enjoy. And so just through raising my own children, being involved in children's ministry, I've always seen the need and the importance of what we do in the home and how we can love our children and nurture our children and really, as Peggy said, tend to their soul and to their spirit the way that God designed for the family to be. Deuteronomy 6, it says that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and we're to teach those things. We're to impress them on the hearts of our children when we walk, when we rise up, when we lie down. That's everyday life. Right. It's getting in the car, going to school, going to soccer practice, fixing breakfast, all of those things, doing the laundry. As you're, you know, going about your life, we are to be teaching and training our children. And so as I began to just really press in and pray, probably a couple of years ago with the Lord, what is it that you desire of me? You know, as you get older, you feel like, okay, where am I going to finish? Where's my finish mark, Lord? What are you going to have me do? And so interestingly enough, he placed me in a situation where I heard these children crying, and it was real life, real time crying. And in that moment, the Lord said, Michelle, the children are crying out. And so I just prayed and asked the Lord what that meant. What do you want? What, you know, where do we want to go next with this ministry? And so he gave me a method of prayer, of praying with children to help them, as you say, unpack some of those things that they're dealing with, whether it's traumatic or just that day-to-day, you know, bullying, or day-to-day being made fun of, or day-to-day frustration with math, or, you know, whatever it is. And so we know that all of these things really can kind of put our children in a pressure cooker, if you will. And so we want to help them unpack those things that are going on in their heart, whether they're big or little, and help them learn how to not just pray to God, but to hear from God. Yes, and to know who they are and to allow him to speak to their spirit. Because we can tell children a lot of truth. We can tell them a lot of things. And it's important that we do. But when they hear it themselves from God, it really does change and impact their heart. And so that's really it. We just want to get to their heart and minister to who they are and who God really created them to be and help them walk in that.
Yeah. When they have those experiences with God, they don't forget them. And, that's, you know, right. You could ask my 21-year-old a very powerful experience that he had. It wasn't something he wanted to hear God say to him, but it's in a blog that's coming up this month on our website. I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't have the story to share now. Yeah. But yes, all the new blogs coming out on our brand new website this month will be all faith-based as well. So definitely dive into those. So we have some slides, so I'm going to make sure to get those up on the screen. Awesome. And at the same time, I'm going to let our viewers know that you can ask questions. And so definitely be putting those in the feed if you have questions. And afterwards, I will go back in and add the links to all the different handouts that Michelle has shared with me. So it's just easier that way that I do it afterwards. So
Sounds great. And as we get started, I have to give a shout out to my friends, Paul and Juliet Ryland.
Yes.
They are the ones that actually connected us. And I'm so thankful for that and thankful for this opportunity tonight to just share my heart about children and other spirits and who they are in Christ and how we can really minister to them and how we can help them have healing and wholeness through prayer. So as we get started, I just want to lay some groundwork really about children and about who God created them to be. And for us as parents to have that awareness that one, your child was created for a purpose. When God created your child, he had a specific purpose for their life and mind. We know Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And what I love about this verse is it's not saying that we have to figure out or create something or come up with something that our children can do or that they're good at. This says it's a purpose that we can walk into. So like literally, as they are following the Lord, as they are walking with the Lord, they are literally walking into the purposes that he created them for. Mm-hmm. Right? And he formed us. He formed us in our mother's womb. And all the days of your child's life were written before one of them came to be. So I just want you to know first that your child was created for a purpose. And God spoke that destiny. He spoke their purpose into being when he created them.
And he's not going to let your child miss out on that. I think that's one thing as parents with especially younger children, we think, okay, if I don't give them enough opportunities, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, then it's not going to happen. God is so gracious that amidst our pushing them in all these places, which I know I did, and I need to seek forgiveness for that, that he directs them anyways. And we just have to rest in that he's going to get them to that place. And despite all of our flaws and all of their flaws, that purpose is not thwarted. Right.
Yeah. I love, like just recently I heard on a newscast about a girl that went to a nursing home. You may have heard this. She went to a nursing home and she talked to the people there and said, if you could have one thing, what would it be? And so she walked by, she went through the whole nursing home. She was like a 10-year-old girl and went through the nursing home and wrote down, it was like Dr. Pepper, pants that fit. Like it was simple things, you know, that they wanted if they could have one thing. And so what she did was she actually created a GoFundMe account and got all of these. So this is the purpose, right? This is the thing that our children, if we're not trying to create their world and create, you know, them to be able to be a great baseball star or rock star or whatever, you know, but it's like, what can they do by what God has placed in their heart? And I think you can see. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's good. So well, secondly, go ahead. Yeah.
No, and I was going to say, if you direct, it goes hand in hand though with helping them to be in a place mm-hmm. where they don't have extra stuff that's in the way of that purpose as well. And I know you're going to talk about that, but
Yeah, we want to give God room to move, right? Mm-hmm, definitely. Not pack their schedule so tightly that God doesn't have any space in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Secondly, it's important for us to know that the enemy wants to keep them from living that purpose. So we know that they're created for a purpose, and the mm-hmm. enemy wants to keep them from living out that purpose. So it's important that we as parents, okay, we are the guardian of their bodies, their minds, and their spirits. And so as parents, mm-hmm. it's important for us to be alert. And I'm sure you will probably have at some point in time talk about media, and if you haven't already done that, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to be alert and sober-minded, because he is roaring around like a roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he looks for opportunities even in our children.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. that's kind of a scary thought. I mean, it really can be, unless we cling to the mm-hmm. truth. But knowing, I think we have to be aware of that. And then God's given us what we need, though. We can put on the full armor, and we can stand firm against the scheme of the enemy in the life of our children. And we can teach them to do the same.
Right. We teach them how to wield the sword. We are their example. And, you know, at some point we can't be fighting their battles for them. So we have have them in training alongside mm-hmm. of
That's
us.
That's right. That's right. And, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. So that's good. All right. So then the next thing that's important for us to know is we have victory over the enemy. So like I said, we can kind of get frozen thinking about, oh, the enemy wants my child. But no. We have victory over the enemy. And I love this verse in Romans 8:37, because it says, in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. And we, our weapons are not of this world. They're not fleshly, they're divinely powerful. And so we know that it's not of ourselves that we stand firm against the enemy, but it's the Holy Spirit within us and what God has already given us through his son Jesus and the victory on the cross. He died, he buried, he was raised again. And so we have victory, and we have that very resurrection power at work within us. And that's what we want our children to know, that you don't have to lose. You're not a loser. We are the victor. We are the winner. Even when things get tough, even when families do go through hard times, even when children grow through trauma, regardless of what it is, we are destroying, and we can destroy every speculation and everything that sets itself up against God. And I want to point out here in this verse, because I think it's super important, because this is one of the things that I shared with you about and that we've talked about, is a speculation. What is a speculation, right? A speculation is something that we think, something that we come up with in order to fill in the blanks, so to speak, or maybe even somebody says it to us, and so we receive it and we accept it as truth. But it's not truth. It's a speculation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's important for us to realize that your children are being, you know, I intentionally substitute at our public school so that I can stay in the world of children and what they're facing and what they're going through on a day-to-day basis. And it's heart-wrenching. It really is. Some of the things that kids will say to other children, and you just see their little heads just sink, and you just know that, don't receive that as truth. You know, that's a speculation. Don't receive it as truth. So, but know that we do. We have victory over the enemy, and that's what we want to focus on tonight as we talk about prayer.
Yes. Yeah. That. It's so well stated, because I think that we often think that our kids don't absorb that as deeply as they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't think that just because maybe they don't articulate it, that it doesn't sink in as truth. It's something that we can easily, you know, just replace because, well, the ABCs didn't stick, so this shouldn't have stuck either. But their emotional intelligence is so much more developed than their left brain, you know, thinking intelligence. Yeah. And we forget that in these little children. And God made them to attach to us and attach to other things and people and relationships. And those can profoundly affect our children the rest of their lives when we allow ourselves to be deceived that this doesn't matter at this age.
You know, I would bet, I would put money on it that all of us could remember back to a teacher that said something to us that hurt us, or another student, a peer, somebody that we went to school with, maybe somebody in our family. We could probably all remember something that was said to us that made us feel small, that made us feel that we weren't good enough, right? Mm-hmm. And in the same, but in the same thing, we can also remember someone that has spoken incredible truth and empowerment into our lives as well. And that's what we want to really focus on.
Yes, definitely. Well, I'm excited that that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
All right. Should I go on to the next slide?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Yes. Every child can know God's voice. Mm-hmm. Every child of God can know his voice. So if your child has trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they can know his voice. I love that. Jesus himself says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We're going to follow the voice. Sheep follow the voice that they hear. Okay.
Yeah, they do. I used to raise sheep. And especially raise them from model lambs. Boy.
Yeah. Yes. Wild. They follow that voice. It's amazing. That's right. You can have, you know, 500 sheep and five shepherds, and that shepherd comes in and those sheep know his voice. And it's the same way with us that follow Jesus, and children are no different. I love this next verse, John 16:13, that says the Spirit of truth comes and he will guide you into all truth. He doesn't speak on his own, but he only speaks what he hears. So we know that what the Holy Spirit is saying to us is coming straight from God the Father.
Exactly.
And children can know and they can hear God's voice. Mm-hmm. Charles Spurgeon wrote on Samuel, in the book of Samuel, and he said, and I'm going to kind of look over here because I have it written down. He said that if the children here are by God's grace made willing to hear God's voice. So in other words, if they know the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. If they are obedient to the Lord and have open hearts and attentive minds towards his word, the great God will not pass them by.
Yeah.
The Lord will speak and he will call their names.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about just even Samuel. He had never heard God's voice before. And during that time, there wasn't a lot of activity from God as far as speaking to his people. And so for him to come to a little boy and to speak, and what was his response? Speak, your servant is listening. So if we can position our children and help them to connect with the Lord in the way that they know his voice, and that they know when they say, God, I'm listening, what do you have to say? Then God's going to speak to them.
Definitely. And I often tell parents too, you know, we forget that the Holy Spirit doesn't degrade himself for a child. He's the same powerful spirit that anybody has access to. And so why do we limit our children when they delve into faith? We can't, because their faith is just excessively powerful as ours. So,
I think if we look at it from the same perspective of education, it progresses as they progress. Mm-hmm. It's almost kind of like we think spiritually, they're a child, but then they can't really progress or develop until they become a teenager or an adult. You know, it's almost like there's this window here that, well, you know, they can come to know Christ, but then we don't do anything else with them after that. And so I think, honestly, I'm just going to say this. Honestly, I think we failed our children. Some as parents, some, I mean, I know I can sit back. I have conversations with my 25 and 28 year old, and we talk about those things that, oh, mom didn't do so well, you know.
Well, you have to say a lot of those.
Because I was learning myself, you know, not growing up in a Christian home. And so I was just beginning to learn myself, like, what does this even look like to make God a part of your everyday life? But
that's a good point. You know, if you're a parent and you're going, I'm really screwing up on this, that's okay. God's grace covers it.
Absolutely.
My background, if you read anything on our website, I had anger issues that were scary. And God has healed all of that.
Awesome.
You know, you can't judge yourself from where God let you begin.
Mm-hmm. That's
that was
right.
His plan. And
that's good.
His grace is enough to cover it all.
Yes, it is. And that's good, Peggy. That's a good point, because we're talking about children tonight, but it's important also that parents don't believe lies about themselves. And the enemy would want to beat us up, and the enemy would want us to feel like we failed our children. But it's a new day. It's a new day, and we're learning and we're growing. And so as long as we're moving forward in that, we're doing what God asks us to do, God's going to speak to us too.
Exactly.
So, so let's move on and talking about prayer and what that looks like.
Yeah.
I shared with Peggy earlier, if my Texas accent throws you off, I'm really sorry, but we're deep in the heart of Texas here. So what is our goal? Why do we pray with children for healing and wholeness? This is a fairly new concept, really, for working with children in the area of children's ministry. As I said earlier, I've been in children's ministry for 28 years. And so now I'm really like, God, how do I communicate this? This is something new. It's not really anything that, you know, you hear. Children go to therapy and they go to other things, but what does it mean to come to a prayer minister to, you know, to work through these things? Well, we know that God created children, mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So yes, medical doctors are of the essence. Yes. Therapists are needed. We're not discounting any of that tonight at all, because God created us with all of those parts. What he has called us to do is to minister to the spirit. And so our goal as we meet with children is to really just facilitate a connection with Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
I love that word, facilitate.
Yes.
Oftentimes we think we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And facilitating allows us just that partnership with our child,
you know,
and yes, you know, you were talking about earlier is that, you know, as our children are younger, we have to, you know, like the whole battle armor, you know, we do a lot of the fighting at the beginning, but it's this slow progression of allowing them to take more and more of it and seeing it as a facilitator. And I often talk about it even as like a coach in a boxing ring. And I'm not the one in the ring. I mean, I can help so much out, but it's not my job to be in the ring there. And I'm not my child's opponent either.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So I love it. It's a really sweet time to just see a child connect with Jesus and allow him to do what he wants to do. Because again, I could tell them lots of things and I could give them, you know, great wisdom, you know, from this older lady, but when they hear from the Lord, it does something. I just can't tell you a couple of just quick stories I had. It does. I had a young lady that was just feeling a lot of shame, a lot of oppression. And her mom is actually a therapist. And she called me and said, I just really don't know what else to do. And I said, well, I'll be happy to meet with her. And so we did a prayer session with her. L is her initial, and L has become a really sweet, dear friend and family. I've ministered to their family. But it was really neat, because when the Lord met her, her mom said that afterwards she said to me, "Mom, my heart is healed." And she talked about a vision that she had where God, she was on one path and God placed her on a new one. And mom said that since then, like her temperament, she's happy. She's had, her joy is restored. And so God can do what only God can do.
He heals.
That's right. Yep. And he frees us. So we allow the Spirit of God to minister to their heart. Oftentimes, especially children that maybe come from some kind of trauma or a broken family, we know there's pain. But the thing I love about God and what we do with this prayer ministry is I don't try to bring up any memories. I don't ask them to go any place that God doesn't lead them. And when their spirit and their heart is ready, then God reminds them of a memory or reminds them of something, and then he brings that healing. And then we just help them unpack those things, right? We don't want to carry any heaviness, and we certainly don't want children to have to either.
That's a great word, unpack.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. I like that. You shared an example in about the backpack, and I'm sure you're going to share that, but so perfect of an illustration.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So our goal also is so that they're spiritually free from fear, from anxiety, from anger, from pain. Again, I do not discount the medical profession or psychology, because I know there are cases that is needed. But I also don't want us to be blind to the fact that some of it is spiritual. And there are situations and circumstances that we really need to do what we can do to go to war, if you will, on behalf of our children, because the enemy is really wreaking some havoc on their lives and the lives of our family. And a lot of that really boils down to what they believe about themselves. And so the other thing that we have as a goal is we want them to know the truth about who they are.
Yes, and they go back to that slide that you were talking about. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll share with you just briefly then. I'm trying to check the time. Are we okay on time, Peggy?
Yeah, we have half an hour left still.
Okay, so awesome. So I'll share with you what the Lord gave me for praying with children. And I do call it the backpack prayer. And it's so simple. But yet so profound, because it really connects with a child and where they are. So I, in a session, especially if it's our first session together, I have a backpack and I make sure that it is stuffed full and it's heavy. And so I have the child put it on their back and, you know, talk about, is it heavy? Is it light? Oh, you know, some of them will kind of lean back like, whoa, I can't even hold this up, you know. And I've even gotten river rocks and putting them in the backpack to make it make my point across really, really heavy. So they're like, I said, would you want to carry this around? Well, I could maybe for a little bit. I said, but could you very long? Like if we were, you know, hiking, would you want to carry this backpack? No way. And then I have another backpack that's lighter and I put that on them. It's like, well, how does this one feel? Oh man, that's much better. That's much lighter. Mm-hmm. Well, in the same way, and I just share with the children, in the same way, there are things that happen in our life that makes our heart feel heavy. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I'll go on a trip and I'll have my backpack. And, you know, when I come home, I have put everything under the sun in that backpack. Because, you know, when you're on a trip, you're oh, I'll just stuff it in my backpack. Let me just stuff that in my backpack. And so I'll have trash or whatever in the backpack. I'll say, you know, I've got to clean it out. And sometimes I just have to sit down, unzip it, see what's in it, and get rid of what I don't need. Right. And so in that very same way with our hearts, then we just enter into a time, again, we're facilitating what God wants to do. And we just have the child ask Jesus, is there anything in my heart that I need to unpack? And God answers them and he shows them what it is. And we'll begin with unforgiveness. We know that unforgiveness is is mm-hmm. so important, is so yes. important mm-hmm. in how we live freely. And so
it tends to be the thing that ties everything else into place, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Absolutely.
And when you loosen that first bond yep. to forgive, then yep. the other things, you can unpack them. If they're not yep. like glued to the side of the backpack.
Right, exactly. You know, one of the things we see is as we start walking through that unforgiveness is they may say, you know, I want to forgive Johnny for beating me up at school. And for making me feel like I'm not good enough. Yeah. And that's when you begin to see what are some of the lies that they've been believing. Mm-hmm. Right?
So
that's
true.
When
those
you
lies
begin to
are yeah. so connected to those mm-hmm. those experiences that yes. we see from the wrong point of view, which you were talking about earlier. Yeah. Our kids will yeah. automatically assume it's my fault and mm-hmm. therefore, you know, and when yeah. they can't let go through forgiveness, mm-hmm. that twist, that, yeah. you know, that yeah. untruth just burrows itself yeah. into
there. So there's a couple of things that kind of like bubble to the surface as we're doing these prayer sessions. Mm-hmm. One is those lies that a child believes about themselves, that they're not good enough, they're not pretty enough, they're not smart enough. No one likes them, you know, whatever. There's a gamut of them. But then also... Mm-hmm. We begin to see where the enemy kind of begins to push their button. Okay. So I'll share one story. I had a teenager that I prayed with, and I could kind of sense from the beginning that she just didn't really have a lot of self-confidence, mm-hmm. kind of almost felt rejected, you know, didn't see herself as one that people liked, accepted, whatever. So as we prayed, the Lord brought to her mind, again, we're facilitating a time where we're saying, okay, Father God, you show her, who does she need to forgive? And so God shows her, and it's her mom. And her mom had, she had brought in some weeds, flowers uh-huh. from the yard. Okay. We all have them. I have a vase full in my bathroom. She brought those in from the yard. Well, mom just told her to take them right back outside. Mm-hmm. And so mom didn't, you know, it yeah. again, it's not a big deal, really. But here's what happened. She felt rejected because mom didn't want the flowers. And mm-hmm. so what the enemy will do, remember, he's roaming around, right? Yes. And he saw an opportunity to make her believe that rejection was real.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Her mom loves her, you know, right. and wants what's best for her. And she's a great mom. But what the enemy does is he will take those situations mm-hmm. and then that's when rejection comes. And that's when maybe bitterness or anger or depression, yeah. some of those mm-hmm. things kind of begin. So you kind of, it's really awesome how the Holy Spirit just kind of begins to navigate where you're going with a mm-hmm. child during this prayer time as they start unpacking those things. Mm-hmm. Because then you can begin to see those two important things. What is a lie or some of the lies that they're believing? And then what are some of the strongholds that the enemy's mm-hmm. using in their life?
Yeah.
So we want to get rid of both of those. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, leading them through the unpacking, and mm-hmm. you do the same thing facilitating then through, you know, just where am I holding on tight? I mean, are there specific questions you use mm-hmm. to facilitating so parents kind of know, or you just let the Spirit just kind of,
you know, I wish I could say, yes, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but there are some basic principles. There are some basic principles. Like I said, when you see there's a lie that they're believing about themselves, then you want them to say, okay, Jesus, here's what I believe. Here's the lie. But what yes. is the truth? Okay. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
remember, we're teaching them to hear God's voice. We're teaching them to know that when we ask God, when we talk mm-hmm. to God, God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. So I believe that God is a God who hears and he responds to us. Mm-hmm. And so we set that up where if that's something that we've kind of uncovered a lie, then let's ask Jesus. Let's bring Jesus and the Holy Spirit into that conversation. What is the truth about me?
Right.
And he is going to speak that truth to their heart because that's what he wants them to know.
That's so good. Because it goes back to that scripture verse about, you know, when we clean out the room and, you know, we try to get all up and then if we don't replace it with something, then you know, that demon comes back in and brings a couple more friends because the space is there.
Yeah.
But when we fill it with truth, then he can't come in.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I love that. And that'll kind of segue into then as we're dealing with that fear or that anger, we have the authority to command it to go. And we can just say, and with children, it's so simple. I just say fear and they repeat after me, fear, I don't like you. I don't want you around. And I'm telling you to go. God, what do you want to give me? Well, he gives them faith. He gives them trust. He gives them, and we want to pray over them. There is a time at the end that I pray over them and just ask the Lord to fill them with the fruit of his Spirit, because those are those places that need to be filled. And so, it is, there are some basic practices when you're doing it, but also it really is just really staying attuned to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do in the heart of that child. Because only he knows. We can try to fix them. We can try to, you know, bring those conversations up. And I, as a parent, have been there and they've gone terribly wrong. So let's let the Lord direct what he wants to do in our kids.
That's so true in all of parenting. You know, I learned that over the years. It's like, you know what, if I just pray and ask God to, you know, plunk what down what I need, he does it. Okay. But I have to trust and I have to not be scared, scurrying all over the place, trying to figure it out on my own. And I think this is good encouragement, as you probably agree with me, for parents who maybe are just starting new in their faith as well.
Yeah.
It sounds like from your story, as well as mine, I became a Christian the same month my oldest was born. And I thought, I'm ill-equipped. I'm very ill-equipped. Because I'm just starting this process. But you know what? That you will have what you need. The Spirit is enough.
Yes.
And just trust that he will speak what you need to hear and be willing to hear it.
I
love that it's, you know, you talk about facilitating and you say, you know, you these are the basics. But really, our stories are so unique. Our what we struggle with is so personal. And, you know, like you said at the very beginning, that scripture verse about you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your children are unique. We're unique. We cannot say this is this spiritual practice that is going to lead us all to the same place.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
That's not faith.
No.
It's not trust.
No. And God is an intimate God. He knows each one of us intimately, and he knows what's in the heart and mind of your child. And I want to say this, there's going to be some children that it's going to be a little more difficult, and you probably there's probably viewers that are like, how am I going to get something out of my kid? They're not going to talk. They're not going to want to, you know, I have a couple other techniques that I use. If you know, for instance, if you know, and we know as parents, if our child is dealing with anger or if our child is just seems heavy, or if they're bitter or whatever, we know those things. And we want to teach them, though, to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to just take over those things. And so I use one of the techniques that I use. I do a little bit of, like, I'm not a licensed therapist, but I do a little bit of play therapy in with it, because they're children. They're not going to just always want to sit there. So I have kinetic sand and other things for them to do. But one of the things that was really cool is I have this expandable ball. And so I was talking with one child that I knew what he was struggling with, because it had kind of come out. But when we asked Jesus what he wants to unpack, nothing, you know. And so I said, all right. I said, well, I just want you to visualize. I just want the Holy Spirit to just fill you with peace. And so when I expand this ball, I want you to just take a deep breath. And just you're breathing in peace. And he did it. And, you know, and then I said, when I blow it out, you're just exhaling I said, you're breathing in peace. And then you're exhaling. And after about three or four times, I said, you're breathing in peace. And he said, and I said, exhaling. He said, fear. It's like, okay, there we go. Yeah. And so it eventually comes out. You know your child, find what kind of works for them and be, you know, willing and open to get creative with it if you need to. But
right. Well, so one then thing that I did, my son that's on the autism spectrum wouldn't talk about feelings mm-hmm. and things. Either, yes. He really didn't know yes. what those feelings were
right.
Because mm-hmm. he was so left-brained, you know, the feeling part just, it wasn't right. sensory, just kind of closed that off. So mm-hmm. I had a puppet. And he would talk to the puppet. He would relate with the puppet. And mm-hmm. he would tell the puppet all these things, realizing I was there. But,
right.
but all, you know, all of a sudden his feelings and emotions came up because,
this,
you know, it wasn't intimidating. It was, mm-hmm. you know, it was easy mm-hmm. to talk to. So there's another
yeah.
way, parents, if you
yeah, absolutely.
Have a hard time connecting with your kids. And mine had a lot to do. I had anger issues. My kids did not connect with me for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, prayer did heal that
yeah,
as well.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. And I think preteens and teen parents, you've probably already figured out driving in the car is the best time to talk.
Oh, yes.
Because they're not face-to-face looking at each other. And I want to share, I recently heard 9 minutes, the most important 9 minutes of a child's day are the 3 minutes when they wake up, the 3 minutes when they get home from school, and the 3 minutes when they're going to bed. Those are moments. And I really can, as a parent of grown children, I look back and I remember that. It is true. I believe that's tried and tested because those were moments where they were just open. We were talking. We were, you know, or as you're laying in bed at night and praying over them and their spirits were, things were settled.
Yeah.
And so then those are just great moments that you can kind of say, hey, you know, let's just ask Jesus, is there anything you need to unpack today that just happened today that you just want to give to the Lord?
Yeah.
So,
well,
yes.
That's the preventative side that we were talking about
from yeah.
the beginning
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
that, you know, yes, there are bigger things that we're going to uncover, but this is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Wrote in your notes.
Yes.
Want to stop because you don't want to have it become a trauma again where they're mm-hmm. they're having to figure out what's at the bottom of my backpack.
Exactly. I know. I mean, I grew up in a broken home and I came into my marriage and my family with lots of baggage. It took a while to unpack it all. But what I love about working with children and doing what I'm doing now is I feel like, wow, if I'd had that back then, I wouldn't have thought I wasn't good enough. I wouldn't have thought I was only to be used. I would, you know, all of those things that I believed that right. kept me really from being who God purposed me to be. Mm-hmm. And so I see it kind of becomes just a little bit of a course correction for mm-hmm. children to keep them walking with the Lord in the purpose that He has them. You think about King Josiah, it says he was 8 when he became king. And the Bible yeah. says that he walked with the Lord and he didn't turn to the right or to the left. And I really see mm-hmm. this ministry as a way to help children and their families to just do that, to like stay on course mm-hmm. with where God is directing them and who He's created them to be so that they can walk into that purpose that He's created him for.
Right, exactly. And that's, I guess, we were talking at the very beginning just about how there's things that God will always lead our child to their purpose. But mm-hmm. sometimes getting to their purpose can be quite painful because mm-hmm. of all this
yeah.
stuff that gets in the
yeah.
way.
That's
and
right.
if you can facilitate this and start seeing this as a purposeful way to parent
right,
and,
yeah.
and move your child on their spiritual path, then what an advantage that
yeah,
they have
absolutely.
Adding things that we can't, you know, we don't see them, but they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And to allow our children to have the equipment and the
yeah.
Just the understanding that these
mm-hmm.
things do exist. I mean,
yeah.
it's so easy to go through life and, like you said, talk about the sports and the activities and
right.
school and all these other things, and we miss that component. Yes, we take them to church, but that is not a relationship with God. They can hear stories about Him, but this is an intimate relationship that they have to cultivate, and we've been given that responsibility. You know, you heard that scripture. You know, when we stand up, we sit down. You know, everywhere. This is such a practical way to do it, the way that you're introducing it. And I love that.
So as we move to as we move to that next slide, then these are just some basic spiritual practices for your home. I will say this as you go there, you know, I've done children's ministry, like I said, for 28 years or plus. Mm-hmm. And if I could go back and teach one thing to every child that I have ever taught, it would be to know that they can hear from the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't get anything from tonight, prayer methods, those are all great. But like, if they can know that they hear from God, it is a game changer. It's totally a game changer.
Because it becomes not just about a religion, a practice. It's a
religion. Yeah.
And it's a two-way thing. They learn to hear His voice.
Yeah, that's right.
They need to know that no matter what, they're loved. And only when they hear God's voice will they know that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because like you said, He'll speak the truth into their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's when they
it's
know.
So much better than lots of adults just
I can tell my child, you know, you're loved, God loves you. And they're like, yeah, whatever, Mom.
I know.
But when God speaks to them, that's a whole different thing.
That's right. So let's just kind of go over these real quick, and then we'll run through those handouts that we have. Just, you know, some basic spiritual practices that I recommend in your home. And it's really not anything that, you know, lots of children's ministers are probably not saying, but prayer and Bible study, they're essential. Teaching your child those spiritual disciplines is very important. It may seem that, you know, it become mundane or whatever. Just keep pressing in, keep doing it. There are tons of resources out there for children, for Bible reading plans for children, Bible studies for children, family devotionals. It is such, we have a plethora of them. Yes. So Google, Pinterest, Amazon, you know, all of that. It's all out there. Speak the truth about who God is and who we are. I think one thing that is super important is just becoming a really gospel-centered family that, you know, that we are who we are because of Jesus. And because of that, we can extend grace to those in our family. And we can love them the way that Jesus does. Ask questions. If your child seems to be acting different in any way, remember we're supposed to be alert. So ask questions. Hey, what's going on? You know, keep that connection open with them so that in those moments, they're going to be able to, you know, respond to you and, you know, not just, oh, nothing. And they may at first, but just look for the right opportunity. Don't push too hard, but press in and know and ask the Lord. Again, here's a practical thing. We have the ability to hear from the Lord as well. So ask, Father God, how do I need to minister to them right now? What question do I need to ask? Would you show me the right time when it's time? Give me the opportunity for my child's heart to be open and for me to be able to hear what's going on inside of there. So,
and I found so true with my boys, you know, boys just tend to talk as much with my daughter, like, just everything with me. But when I would do an activity that they liked, and I was, it was never anything I enjoyed doing, but I would make myself, you know, participate in, you know, playing this game, dressing up and acting like a superhero or, you know, building Legos. But that's where the conversation started.
Yes. Like, absolutely.
Spend time with me. And on my level. And that establishes a connection, You know, it may be a physical connection at that point, but it's a doorway into a spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They need to know you're there physically and all of it, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I love that. And I think, you know, a key, especially for boys, I feel like, is to find something that you do connect with them on. For my son, he loved music. And so I would listen to, it was Christian music, but it was the screamo music, which I did not like. But I would listen to the phrases in the music and I would just, hey, what do you think that means? You know, mm-hmm. and there we could enter into a spiritual conversation without it being awkward, without it being okay. I mean, I did have a few awkward conversations too, but yes. There were a few of them around music. So just find something that you connect with your child mm-hmm. with and do that thing. Do that thing with them and keep that open. And then just take time to help them, you know, unpack those things with their heart. Obviously for younger children, that's going to be, you know, you'll be able to connect with them in that way. What do we need to unpack today? You know, for your teenagers, it may kind of look like, hey, what do you need to just give to Jesus? You can use visualizations. That's awesome. They're amazing to just say, if Jesus were standing here right now, what would you want him to know? Like, what's on your heart? Mm-hmm. So just be creative with it. And then I think
that's a good point, yeah, go ahead. Too. Okay. That, you know, we talk about as adults, you know, keeping this conversation going with God, mm-hmm. And practicing the presence of God. That's a popular book.
Right.
But I never thought of it until you just mentioned it, of how we can be that reminder. Are you mm-hmm. are you telling him about it? Or have yeah. you told God about this now? And mm-hmm. and if somebody is there reminding us, I mean, that's what we ask mentors to do in our lives as adults. Mm-hmm. Are we doing that with our children? Mm-hmm. You know, just that it's in conversation, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing today? You know,
yeah.
are you communicating with God that you're that's an issue? But building mm-hmm. that into the everyday conversation.
Yeah. You know, again, I mean, this is kind of one of those things I wish I had known when I was raising my own children. I did try to I knew our daughter would journal. So we always made sure she had journals. And so that was a way that she could kind of write out to the Lord, you know, what was on her heart. And we still have lots of journals in her closet from when she was a teenager. So just find what works for them. If they love art, let them draw out, hey, what's going on in your heart? Just, you know, ask the Lord to give you a picture to describe it. There's lots of ways that you can be creative rather than just a sit down and let's do this. Go for a walk, you know, just create those moments. Facilitate those moments that you can help them learn to be with Jesus yes. and to give those things to Jesus. And then just model forgiveness and humility, because like we said earlier, unforgiveness yes. is really big and it is a seed to a lot of different things that cause us to be in bondage and have strongholds. And so just really walking in that unforgiveness and humility is important.
Be an example of that for our kids, mm-hmm. you know, no matter how hard it is, you know, just asking God to let you live in a state of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. And do not hesitate if you mess up to go to your child and say, hey, would you forgive me?
Yes. Oh man, I can't tell you how many super important. I ask my child for forgiveness. They know mom is not perfect. Actually, I had a child ask me, this is so hilarious. It was a very traumatic experience we had, and we had a foster child that went back to a very bad situation. And mm-hmm. I was in the bathroom praying extremely loud. And my child comes up to the door and knocks at it. Are you cursing God? I'm like, no, I'm just praying really loud. But I mean,
kids,
we have to be real in our faith.
That's right. Absolutely.
And real in our sinfulness as well as our faithfulness.
Yeah.
So that they know that, you know, this is just the way it is.
And realize that sometimes it may come back on us, because I know our daughter was probably 3 or 4. You know, we had a routine of praying at night and all of this. And we were in a season where my husband was working out of town. I had two young children at home, and it was just like, one of those nights. And I remember I was yelling. I was yelling. I was like, just go to bed. And she's in there, and I hear her little voice, and she said, Mom, are we going to pray? And I was like, yes. Yes, we are. No, those will sometimes come back to get you, and God will use them to remind you.
To humble us, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we can keep walking in humility. That's good.
So you've got some handouts, and I am going to, so first of all, Sparrow Ministries, and that ministries is MINISTREES, like trees.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
And here's just your website. I'll show everyone.
Yeah, when the Lord gave me the name for the ministry, it literally just dropped into my brain like that, which was amazing because, as I told you earlier, I'm not really a seer of things. But he said, reclaiming family trees, restoring childhood, and renewing lives. And so that's what we want to do. We believe that when we help children to walk in this wholeness and this healing, it affects their families for generations to come. So, yeah.
Awesome. So some of the things that we'll be sharing, which one do you want me to put up first?
We can put up setting goals for kids first. Okay. I know it's February, but maybe your children haven't done that yet. So I just began to get them into the practice of kind of evaluating, where am I? What do I want to learn new? What do I want to do better as far as like maybe in school or something like that? My body, how do I want to take care of? We are mind, body, spirit. And so I think if we can teach our children this, that we're taking care of all of that. And that's kind of some of the broadcasts that you're doing. How do we take care of our bodies? You know, what are some ways that they can do that? They can drink more water, drink less soda, eat less sugar, all of that. And then how do we want to take better care of our spirit? That includes reading your Bible, being still, prayer, less screen time. Those are just some fun ways, and that your child can draw those out or write those out, whatever their age. But just know that I just figured that was an easy way, and not, you know, sometimes we can get like so overwhelmed. I have 10 goals for 2019 and I'm going to meet them all. And you know, what happens? I didn't even start. So
you just put it on the refrigerator when they're done, and then they see it every day too.
Absolutely. Then same thing with teens. So you can go to that one next. This looks just a little different then for setting goals for teens. Just made it a little more age appropriate, obviously. But what can they learn more? What do they want to do better in? And then for them, I put, what are you going to do to make that happen? Okay, because we can set goals, but if we get them to thinking about, okay, here's my goal and here's what I'm going to do to make it happen, then they're more apt to meet that goal. And again, mind, body, spirit, how will they take better care of their spirit? I added less social media, less screen time for them. That's a whole nother broadcast. And then their bodies, just the same, drinking more water, eating more vegetables, exercising. You know, I know they do some of that with sports and stuff already, but yeah, just a fun way for them to help their kids start setting some goals, and to keep in mind that it's not just about that you want to be better in sports or you want to be better in school, but how do you want to take care of your spirit as well? So
right, and just focus on the you that God made you to be, to,
yes,
to be better absolutely. Than somebody else, or
yeah. Absolutely. And then we'll go to this time with God. These are actually printable cards. They're the size that would be small enough for them to like put in their Bible, so they would have it, or their devotional book, so that they would have it there as they begin a practice of spending time with God. And these are just some basic things that I actually just have found to be helpful for me as I enter into time with the Lord. And as I've done prayer sessions with children, just kind of how to frame it and set it up so that the Lord really moves and speaks in that. So they're all there. But basically, you always want to start your time with the Lord with just giving him praise. So whether it's through music or whether it's, you know, verbally telling God how great he is and how wonderful he is, You're powerful, you're mighty, you're loving. And I give them some suggestions there for children so that they can kind of get their minds thinking. And then we want to tell God the things that we're thankful for. You know, a heart of gratitude is a good thing. Ask for forgiveness for anything that they've done that they know is sin. And then ask if there's anyone that has hurt them that they need to forgive. Because, again, we want to keep that pipe cleaned out of forgiveness with the Lord. I love children. Their hearts are so pure. Oftentimes when we pray with them and I ask them to pray, God, is there anybody I need to forgive? Immediately they'll say, well, I need to ask God to forgive me for being mean to my friend. Like they're just, that's why Jesus says, come as a child, right?
Because our grudges keep us from yes, that a lot of times as adults, and we want to judge and point fingers and all that other stuff that keeps
so
there.
Then they just take a Bible verse and go through that again, asking the Holy Spirit, what is it that I can learn from this? They can draw or write that down, and then to pray for other people. So those are just some basic steps that they can go through. The teen one is pretty much similar, just a little more age appropriate for them. And so those will both be there and available. So, all right.
And you had some empowering you.
Yeah, I really, let's close up with these. These are great. So the Bible says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. And we know that the brain always tends to default to the easiest thing. So when I walk into a dark room, the easiest thing for my brain to feel is fear. When I try to crawl into a hole, claustrophobic, the easiest thing is, so your brain defaults to what is easiest. And so when the Bible's talking about renewing our mind, it's literally talking about creating new pathways, new ways of thinking. And so this is what these affirmations do. It's really just helping your child know, based on truth, because all of these statements have scripture with them. Who is God? God is Father. God is love. He's forgiving. He's faithful. And so these are all things that if we can help our children learn who God is and learn that He is a loving, just God, then they don't have to be afraid of Him because He loves them and He paid a price so that they could know Him.
And then I have to add this too. When I was dealing with depression, truth was a hard thing for me to understand because it wasn't something I grew up with. And so I did. I took cards like these, but they were much messier because they were in my handwriting, which is really bad. but I posted them up all over my house. And every time I saw them, I would stop and I would read it. And I said, I'm going to read this till I believe it, because I didn't.
Yes.
I did not believe it. And finally, you know, God just softened my heart enough to believe those truths. So, you know, take these things, put them on your house, you know, around your house, stick them on the back of the bathroom door. That's where most of mine went because.
So, yeah, I love it. There's a couple of more pages there that talk about I am and then I can. And this is, to me, the I can is the most, for me, is the most empowering. The second one, the I am, talks about your identity, who we are. We're loved. We're a new creation. We're a child of God. We are accepted. And again, they all have verses that tie and back that up. And then that last one is I can, because children can know God. They can do what's right. They can learn God's word. They can know God's voice. And so helping them to know and believe. And Peggy, you're right. It's sometimes hard for us to receive truth and believe truth. So one of the things, another good statement to ask your child when they're reading these maybe, is to say, does that feel true to your heart?
That's a very good question.
And if it doesn't feel true to your heart, then let's pour into a little bit more truth on that particular statement or affirmation.
These I cans are so good because, you know, if you have a child who struggles, they're told so much what they can't do.
Right.
And you, as parents, you know, and our kids, our watchers, you see it. They get so defeated by the world focuses on what they're bad at. Mm-hmm. And God wants them to focus on who He made them to be. You know, back again to what you were talking about at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. He made them for a purpose.
That's right.
And these I can statements
yeah.
are going to
yeah.
get them focused on that direction.
Yeah,
not what the world is telling them they can't do.
That's right. Yeah. And I would just encourage you, these are great to do. Remember those 9 minutes of the day. So maybe 3 minutes in the morning, 3 minutes at night. This could be kind of part of your devotional time and your prayer time with your children. Let them pick out a few, you know, for the week, maybe one or two for the week. Focus on those two for the week and then move to the next week. Actually, you can do all the refrigerator, bathroom, mirror, the car, everywhere. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Put them everywhere. Just great reminders that your child is created for a purpose and God loves them and he wants them to know him and to know that he can, that they can hear his voice. And that they can walk in faith and in freedom into the very purposes that he created them for. So,
exactly. Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. This
absolutely.
I've enjoyed this hour tremendously.
Thank you.
And I hope our parents have too. You know, I don't have a whole lot of live viewers, but we always have a lot in our shorter segments. And
awesome.
This broadcast will be turned into a podcast on Sunday.
And
it'll also go on to our YouTube channel on Sunday. And then throughout the week next week on Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, there'll be four shorter segments as well. So you can catch.
Great. May I have the privilege of praying for your parents that are all the parents that will be watching or listening at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. Father, I thank you for the privilege of parenting. And God, for the gift that children are. And Lord, I pray that you would enable and empower every parent that is either listening now or will be listening at some point, that you will empower them to see and to look into the heart of their child, and that you will give them insight and understanding in who you have created them to be. And Father, I pray that they would pour into that purpose, that they would be intentional in their parenting to minister to the heart of their child. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God that gives us that example. You are a loving Father that knows us. You're a loving Father that cares for us and that gives us grace and that gives us the power to stand in victory, to walk into the purposes that you've created us for. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill every heart and every home with peace and with joy and with love. And I pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. It's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Such a gift.
Thank you,
just
Peggy.
To share. And I just thank you for sharing it with us.
Absolutely. It's my honor. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. I'm going to just wrap up with everyone here. But
okay.
All right. Thanks for your time, Michelle. We definitely appreciate it. And check out Sparrow Ministries and definitely the links that will be shared with you with those handouts that we just went over. That's great. And so for the rest of you, next week, our special guest is Jason Haug, and he is the author of I didn't write down his book. I'll have to come back to that. But our discussion is going to be how to keep loving, hoping and loving during discouragement. And he is a father of a child on the autism spectrum who talks about just the struggle through prayers that he wanted answered in a specific way. God told him that it was going to be something different. And I think we often struggle with that when we have children who struggle and we want God to take those struggles away from them, but he allows them to stay. And so he's going to speak to our hearts about how to hold on to hope and not get discouraged as we walk through those, that valley with our children. It's a tough one. So that'll be next Tuesday and, same time, 8 o'clock, but I also want to thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding our broadcast. And, also for viewers like you, you can donate on our brand new website. I'm so excited.
Yay!
And we have a very easy to find donate button and you can donate, You can donate just, you know, a small amount. You can make it an ongoing donation, a one-time donation, but we definitely appreciate that. And it is tax deductible because we are a 501c3 nonprofit. But let's keep the conversation going. If you are not part of our support group on Facebook, that is where we talk all week long and you can get your questions answered and we start conversations and just to encourage one another on there. And then also check out our website, the brand new website. It's still the same place, spedhomeschool.com. It just looks completely new. And a lot of the links don't work that used to. So I apologize ahead of time for that. But just search in the search bar. You'll find what you need. So until we get all of our redirects built in. So, but thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you again, Michelle. And thank you, everyone. Okay. We'll see you again next week. Bye. And have a blessed week.
Bye. You too. Bye.